What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is April 12th. Happy Friday. And yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Guys, I have a bonus for you today. The SB Fab Forecast, which is usually a PL Pro exclusive, is going to have a free episode on the PitcherList Fantasy Baseball feed today. So you can take a look or listen to what you're missing out without PL Pro. I'm going to end that podcast, go through all of the pitchers for 12 teamers and 15 teamers that I like for Fab and make your decisions for you. In addition, I'll have inside of the description of that episode my full sit and start grid for next week, Monday through Sunday, as well as my rankings for two start pitchers. It's something that I'm doing just for PL Pro members this year. However, go check out that podcast on our feed later today around 2 o'clock or so. And you'll be able to check out this new feature that we have this year. So look forward to that SP Fab Forecast podcast with yours truly every single Friday. But we got to talk about yesterday's games. Not many, but Hunter Brown, my gosh. 0.2 innings, 9 earned runs, 11 hits, 1 walk, and 0 strikeouts against the Royals. He went 1 for 40 whiffs. What on earth happened? You know, want to know what's actually kind of crazy? Hunter Brown left this game with the bases loaded. He honestly could have had 12 earned runs against him in this one. Bonkers. Absolutely bonkers. And Hunter Brown was just terrible. He allowed 11 hits in this. Nearly all of them, except one, were a hit off of a secondary pitch. And those pitches were just so much in the zone. We're talking about splitters that didn't split, curveballs that were just lofted into the zone, sliders are just like, sure, whatever, here, go and hit this. It was terrible. I mean, I watched every single pitch he threw in this, and I'm just, it was so frustrating. He tried to throw fastballs for strikes. Some of them went so far upstairs. He was so off. It was a terrible, no good, very bad day for Hunter Brown. The problem? He has not looked locked in at all. I've certainly been excited about Hunter Brown this year, saying, okay, cool, I feel like he's making some improvements. He's getting the four-seamers a little bit more up. He's getting a little bit more development when it comes to the secondaries. Over time, I think this is going to work out. And right now, not only are we a step back, but we're going to have another step back next week against Atlanta. So Hunter Brown is a perfect example of a hipster, and I lowered him in my ranks actually this week to this kind of nebulous tier of just, is this going to work out? Are we okay with this? Realizing that I had already been wish casting a bit too much with Hunter Brown. And now this is just even more absurdity, saying, yeah, maybe not. I also should mention the Royals are doing really well. They've won 7 straight games. And it was just bad timing for everybody involved here except for the Royals. But Hunter Brown is droppable in a 12-teamer. What? Oh my gosh, Nick, as you clutch your pearls, I understand. Also, now value is tenfold more profitable for you than future value. There's no guarantee that Hunter Brown comes around. If he does, that's great. There's a false equivalency of, say, Blake Snell in previous years, where Snell was struggling for so long, then all of a sudden, snap of the fingers, bam, there he is, and becomes that ace for months. You have no idea when you have Blake Snell at that point if that is going to happen. You're hoping it does. You're happy it did eventually. But sometimes you have to wait until the end of July for that kind of stuff. Sometimes it just doesn't arrive at all. Hunter Brown, we have no guarantee that he's going to be able to do that, let alone he does not have the same ability as Blake Snell. So you know what? It's okay. You're better off dropping early with someone like Hunter Brown that does not have top 10, top 15 upside, in my view, for something else that will help you now. JP Sears, I don't know if he's going to be that guy, but he certainly helped yesterday. He went against the Rangers, got the win, 6.1 innings of 1 earned run, 1 hit, 3 walks, and 5 strikeouts, 12 whiffs, 32% CSW. And what's really interesting is that the best asset I see for JP Sears is his four-seamer upstairs. It is such a flat four-seamer, one of the flattest in the majors. If we say that 1.0 is flat and 1.2 is above average, 1.45 is great. He has 1.7 on that fastball. Oh boy. But he didn't really do it. No, this was a game of sweepers all around the zone, every which way, up, down, left, right. Changeups kind of around it as well and earned some outs. And then the fastball just kind of helping whenever it could. strange. It's not something that I've seen ever from JP Sears. He's been struggling massively with that sweeper. And I just don't think this is going to be real. This was against the Rangers. Very strange. He was really bad last time out. This is a cherry bomb case, and good luck trying to figure out when JP Sears is locked in. I would like this to be consistent with the sweeper so then he can put in the four seamer more and actually go more than five Ks and not three walks, but I'm glad this worked out. John Gray was on the other side of that. Five innings of one earned run, three hits, one walk, and nine strikeouts. 13 whiffs, 35% CSW, 91 pitches. Yeah, it was against the Athletics. That's wonderful. It was 1.5 ticks down on his fastball to 94. Not wonderful. So not really that great for the long-term promise of John Gray. And then he also gets the Tigers next. So I guess we're going to do that. But, you know, that's just how it works. And I do emphasize a lot, matchup matters a ton these days when it comes to the worst opponents. So even though I don't like the long-term outlook of John Gray, he's good enough, clearly, to take advantage of these weak offenses. Brady Singer, props to him for getting a win here opposite Hunter Brown. But really, more importantly, one earned run in five innings against the Astros. Took him 87 pitches. I'm glad that he was able to survive because clearly they were going to win this game. Five innings, one earned run, five hits, two walks, and four Ks for Brady Singer. Here's the thing. I know this has been a really good run for Brady Singer. And what I often say is it's so easy for me to go with consensus. Oh man, Brady Singer's great now. This is awesome. No one will be upset at me if I do that, right? It's so easy. And I'm very aware that I have a bias of previous years of Brady Singer for three straight seasons being just a sinker slider guy. And we know that he goes up and down, everything like that. And how, you know, Nick, you are the guy that normally like shifts on people when they have new skills. And shouldn't you be embracing this new four seamer that he has? Well, that one's 6 for 13 strikes with 8% CSW. That is 1 for 13 and 0 for 13 whiffs. So I don't really think this was one of those games. It was more of a game where his slider, which did not get a lot of whiffs, was able to earn enough outs and enough called strikes on the sinker. But he managed to squeak through this one. Five whiffs for Brady Singer is not usually a good night. It just means that, oh, whew, those batted balls found gloves. I'm so fortunate. He does get the White Sox next, so obviously we're still going there. But if people are starting to really believe that Brady Singer is new because of this four-seamer he throws to the lefties, I would be taking offers all day. I doubt you really can, because I don't think that Brady Singer is going to be considered like a top 25, top 30. But when it comes to those kinds of trades, I can't answer this for you. What you need to do is you need to look at the teams that need a starting pitcher and say, great, I have Brady Singer. And then you look at their team and say, what is something that they have that I need and that they could spare? That's how a good trade happens. Instead of targeting a specific player, you literally just open up all the lineups in the league, see who needs a starter, see who has something that you need that they can let go of. That's how you do this. Ranger Suarez against the Pirates got the win, six innings, zero runs, two hits, two walks, and eight strikeouts. He's 1-2 ticks down on his heaters, and he nibbled the edges enough with his cutter and his four-seamer. Not really his sinker, but whatever. His curve was like bottom of the zone that we've seen a lot of other guys get burned for, but it got enough strikes. Like, it's the Pirates who've cooled off, and Ranger Suarez is doing enough here. That's great. He gets, I had a Twitter discussion with somebody saying that Ranger Suarez gets slept on. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think that Ranger Suarez is someone who goes in and out of rhythm and also can take advantage of poor lineups like this one against the Pirates. And guess what? He gets Rocky Road next. So we're going to go for that one. But this is going to really be a Vargas rule for the most part with Ranger Suarez. Garrett Whitlock, and that's actually really what Brady Singer is too. Garrett Whitlock against the Orioles. Five innings, one earned run, four hits, two walks, and four Ks. We finally got 10 whiffs from Garrett Whitlock. 27% CSW, 85 pitches. So I've been a little underwhelmed by Whitlock. And I want to be whelmed at some point. We never say whelmed. It's always over or under. There's no just whelmed. But yeah, but with Whitlock, he's not quite getting to that point of the slider dominating with the changeup. Slider actually was barely thrown. He favored the changeup against the few righties that he faced. Now, it was mostly a lefty lineup that he saw from the Orioles. The Orioles can do that. They can stack lefties pretty easily. So Whitlock favored mostly changeups and cutters, and it's good to see that those are working clearly. That's really good. So I like this. I do want Whifflock to be more like his name in the future and hopefully feature some more of those sliders down and back foot against those lefties, especially against the righties. It should not be changeup first, slider second. And I'm curious to see how that continues. But Garrett Whifflock is solid. He has that extension, and I think over time it's going to just be better, and we're going to see those more of those six-inning games than we are seeing right now. Grayson Rodriguez was on the other side of it. We're going to talk about him, Jared Jones, Jose Quintana, and Alan Winans, and of course, tomorrow's starting pitchers after this break. Grayson Rodriguez, 5.2 innings, 2 earned runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 5 strikeouts. He sat 95-96 and maxed out at like 97.6. We normally see him sit 97-98, so it was a step down there. He still has a lead extension, really good height adjusted VA, which is means it's a flat attack angle of the fastball, which is good. But man, I just wish that Grayson Rodriguez could just have great changeup command. Everything is YM lock, that is middle height. And oh, he would be so good if he could just keep that low and then pair it with those four seamers. It's just, oh, he's so close. But it's fine. We're just going to keep starting Grayson Rodriguez. Jared Jones is dope and makes us feel dope. 6.1 innings against the Phils. 3 earned runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, 8 strikeouts. I watched all of this. 15 wins, 36% CSW. The hits he allowed, oh man, like, he allowed a 2-run shot to, I believe it was Marsh. It was Marsh on a 3-2 slider away. Like, perfectly, like, down and away. It was hit Oppo Taco. What? Okay. Then Alec Bohm hit a 1-2 curveball that was too hittable. And honestly, I'm surprised I saw a curveball from him. But it was a hittable curve at 1-2 that Bohm took to center. And that was it. That's the entire damage. Jones is interesting because he's had an amazing whip. And then in his ERA, he's just like, teams have found how to scatter hits at the same time with him. I imagine his FIP is absurd because that says, look, you're not going to get the timing of hits all the time. And yeah, Jared Jones, this is something we actually do see from younger guys where they aren't as good at kind of going through a game and they let the blow up inning happen a little bit more. But, and veterans are much better at navigating through that. Still, I mean, Jared Jones is Spencer Strider. This is the comp I've been giving some spring, and just every single start, he continues to amplify that. I'm such a fan of this, and he's amazing. Jose Quintana versus Alan Winans. So Alan Winans was the do not start streamer of the day instead of JP Sears because Sears faced the Rangers and Winans got the Mets. And PL Bob was like, no, I'm still going to go with Sears. And so, PL Bob wins. But Alan Winans was terrible against the Mets, 6 earned runs in 5 innings. And now he's sent back to AAA and we just say, okay, not going to do that ever again. Even though it was the Mets, we're not going to do that. Jose Quintana, honestly, 3 earned runs in 5.1 innings. Good job on you being there long enough to get that win against Atlanta. That's cool. He gets the Pirates next. I feel like that is okay. He has decent enough command right now. And that's really all that you can ask of Jose Quintana. All right, looking forward to tomorrow's games. We have Logan Webb, Joe Ryan, Shota Imanaga, Chris Sale, Garrett Crochet, Ryan Pepiot, and Mackenzie Gore. All of those are good matchups. Not a single one there is a bad one. You're really comfortable with all of it. Now, in the probable start tier, my stream pick of the day is Bowden Francis. What's so annoying is this should be such a good start. This is against Rocky Road in Toronto. Francis has good stuff, a good arsenal. He's had some tough matchups. He's finally in a situation where he can just soar for at least 5, if not 6. And then there's this extra confusion of Yariel Rodriguez. What is going on with this? So I'm frustrated. I picked him up in the league just for this. And now this promotion, I don't know what's going on. My guess is that the Jays have him as a backup if Bowden Francis isn't good to go here. Maybe there's a hidden injury or something. They're like, oh no, we need Yariel Rodriguez for X, Y, and Z. I don't think there is. And as long as Bowden Francis is starting here, which is confirmed right now, then I absolutely want the start against Rocky Road because Rocky Road is so bad. And then you have the Jays on the other side of it that should absolutely support him for a win. Luis Heal is going against the Guardians. A little risky because we have not seen Heal go 5 full innings yet. However, I think this is a situation where the guy gets better as he goes. Changeup and strike rates were really good in the spring. I think those are going to change up in slider strike rates, I should say. We're really good in the spring. should be better moving forward. Heel strikeout ability, we all know. I like this. I think it's just going to get better and better. Ronel Blanco is here against Texas, but then again, he's led one hit in two games against the Jays and the Rangers. So here's the Rangers again. You got to do it, right? Gavin Stone against the Padres. He had a weird one last time against Cubs. I'm going to just say, cool, let's just do this against the Padres. Spencer Turnbull against the Pirates. Yeah, I guess we're going to do it. That is a Vargas rule. Matt Manning against the Twins. He comes up for the doubleheader. I'm okay with that one. Nick Lodolo coming back from the IL, so he's going to be limited around like 75 plus pitches, but it's against the White Sox, so it's not really a still ill. We know that he's doing all right. We're okay with it. Then we also have Ryan Nelson against the Cardinals. This is a start where Nelson looked like his best self against Atlanta last time with that hard cutter that is glorious and a better fastball. I think those stick around. The Cardinals are not looking good. I'm all for it. And Kenta Maeda is a coin flip of, is he going to have the strikeout ability to get through the Twins? The Twins aren't the most intimidating offense, even though Edward Julian is pretty good. Just throw good splitters against them. I hope that'll be all right, Kenta Maeda. Questionable start here. You could argue that Dean Kramer belongs in that other one against the Brewers in Baltimore. I just think that Dean Kramer is just kind of milquetoast Toby. So like, I don't really need to go for that one. But maybe the splitter is a major thing. Simeon Woods Richardson is also coming up for the doubleheader. He gets the Tigers and he was throwing 93, 94 instead of the 90, 91 that he was showcasing last year. That was in the spring, that Simeon Woods Richardson had that increased velocity. That should stick around here. The thing is there anything else? Is there like, are you a command guy? Are you whatever? I don't know, but it's against the Tigers. Not the worst situation there. He should have the freedom to go 5+ innings. Cooper Criswell is coming up for the Red Sox to replace Nick Pivetta as he goes against the Angels in Fenway. Cooper Criswell, sinker sweeper. He looked good enough in the spring, but like, I don't really dig this enough. And I mean, at least it's the Angels, but yeah, we'll see if he gets 5+ innings. Alec Marsh gets the Mets. That's a complete coin flip and not really the highest upside, but it's the Mets. Who knows? Sean Manaea gets the Royals on the other side. The Royals are killing it right now. I don't really trust Manaea's stuff. I am very worried about this one being a potential big blow up. And Joe Boyle, yes, I know, the example of terrible control and everything and command versus stuff. It's the Nationals. They swing in the ninth most of any team in the majors. Hopefully that's just enough strikes against the Nationals that Boyle can make that work. But again, bottom of questionable there. That's a desperate strikeout play. And the do not start tier, Griffin Canning against the Red Sox. Velocity is down. He's in Fenway. I just don't like this. Tristan McKenzie is terrifying me. And now he needs to go against the Yankees. This just feels like the start when we all say, yeah, Tristan McKenzie is kind of cooked. Marco Gonzalez against the Phillies. I know Marco's done well, but it's against the Phillies. Kyle Gibson against Arizona. We have no idea how Kyle Gibson's going to go, and the floor is too bad. D.L. Hall's getting the Orioles, and he's not ready yet, and the Orioles are just so hot right now, and you can't do that. Andrew Heaney against Houston. Dakota Hudson on the road, but it's against the Jays, and no. Max Meyer, good slider, not much else. Against Atlanta, no. Matt Waldrum, don't trust a knuckleballer, especially against the Dodgers. And Emerson Hancock was really bad in his first start, and now he gets the Cubs, and that's an absolute no. That is it for today. Look out for that SP Fab forecast. Also, today's the last day of PL Pro Lifetime being offered. So if you're interested in that, consider it today. We're going to close shop later today. So be on the lookout for that. Actually, don't be on the lookout for that. Go to pitcherlist.com/lifetime to sign up for PL Pro Lifetime today. We don't know when we're going to open that back up again. So honestly, we are just going to say indefinitely for now. We do not have a plan to in the short term at all. So if you're interested in becoming a Pitcherlist Hall of Famer, supporting us for a lifetime, one-time payment, no subscriptions, you get a free hoodie as well, or a shirt and mug. This is Pitcherlist Hall of Famer. I consider that's the number one way to support us, and your support with Lifetime is allowing us to hire new people so that we can make PL Pro better for you at no extra cost in the future. All right, that is it for today. My name is Nick Pollock. May your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.